How should Christians interact on Facebook? I thought that one was funny. I've seen lots and lots of memes and political posts that are not always kind. Social media is a never-ending conversation. We'll begin with that. People from all around the globe connect via all manner of different platforms. I'll also note, by the way, that we are a society that is becoming increasingly individualistic. We kind of view ourselves in our own bubble, whether individual in the sense of who we are as an individual, but also in our own bubble in the sense that we like to yell into our own vacuum chamber, right? We just think everybody agrees with us, including everybody that happens to be our friend on Facebook. And as a result, some will have more friendships, they view it that way, on Facebook than actually real meaningful friendships. If there's ever been a lesson in that, 2020 certainly taught us that you need interactions to have real friendships. Even as much and wonderful as it is to be able to connect with people on Zoom, they're still not the same, is it, as actually face-to-face interactions. But nonetheless, Facebook and other forms of social media still are a means of communication. And so, we could say that your fingertips become an extension of your tongue. So anytime God's word is given to us about how we should communicate, those same rules ought also to apply to our Facebook interactions. My friend put together a list of 10 proverbs that he said are guides to social media. Those proverbs aren't original to him, right? These are proverbs in the book of Proverbs. But I did like how he plucked these 10 out, and we could add to them, but I also wanted to borrow his 10 because I think they're really helpful when it comes to this guidepost on what we could say the subject of social media in general. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11, for example. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. By the way, these are, if you have a social media platform, you ought to write some of these down. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. Social media is probably the absolute worst place to vent, but it seems the most popular avenue. What he's saying is, be wise and be quiet. If there is something you just need to get off your chest, say it into your mirror in your bathroom, right? Talk to a trusted friend or family member, but never give full vent. And I would argue that any vent on Facebook is full vent because you're actually blasting it out to more than just a handful of people, right? A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Proverbs 29, verse 9. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs. There is no quiet. Although few and far between, there is a time and place, perhaps, we could say, for what we could call a Facebook debate. But do you try to drown out the voices of disagreement by raging and laughing at them, right? Even making a mockery, let's say, of a political figure you disagree with by virtue of a funny post or meme? That, the Bible says, is a foolish behavior. You are like a fool. You are not a wise person in that way. A wise man has an argument with a fool. The fool is not going to listen. Have you ever had anybody change their mind off a Facebook post? Right? Have you ever changed your mind off a Facebook post? Probably not. All right. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Do you find a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction when you speak your mind? Our culture actually almost has produced an air in which we expect that to be, and we almost applaud it as a leadership quality, right? He's just not politically correct, as if that's somehow a good thing, right? It's not about being politically correct, it's about being wise. Sometimes the world just doesn't need to know your opinion, right? It just doesn't. But a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, in only expressing his opinion. Proverbs 18, verse 3, that same chapter. If one gives answer before he hears it, this is a folly and shame to him. Don't even think about commenting, then, on that blog article until you've read the whole thing. That might be an important one, right? Have you ever had someone actually comment on it just because they read the title, right? And then you're like, did you finish it, right? No, I just saw the title, right? How many times does it happen in social media interactions? It's a folly and a shame, then. It really is. It is a folly and a shame to bear an answer to something you haven't actually explored. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lip is prudent. If you're an avid user of social media, there's a good chance you have tweeted or posted something you later regretted. Political figures and celebrities get into this trouble when they find out what they tweeted years ago, right? And they pull it back up and they show it to the world. As tempting as it may be to post that edgy, controversial thought, the prudent thing might be to put the phone down and not say anything, right? Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. If you want a clear window into the depravity of man's heart, scroll through Facebook. If rash words are like sword thrusts, then social media is a gruesome scene. There's a lot of that. As Christians, we should bring healing through our social media. And I would actually argue, and I've argued often, and I'll repeat it again tonight, there's only, in my estimations, three things worth posting on social media. And I follow these three rules. They're the only ones I post, right? I only ever post something related to family, and I alliterated them, right? Family, faith, something that I really hold to as being true, as being a fundamental of the faith, not a controversial one, and something that might be just innocuously funny, right? Not necessarily controversial or anything, just a funny joke or anything. Outside of that, you'll never see me post anything else, right? If you follow my Twitter page, I do post sports, and sometimes that's a little controversial if you don't root for the teams that I root for. But other than that, those are the only three things that I post about. Family, faith, and maybe something funny every once in a while. Proverbs 26, verse 17. Whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. I love the pictures that Proverbs paints. How many had a dog or have a dog, right? All right. All right. You know what it's like. That is not a kind thing. By the way, when I read this, my mind goes to when we first got our dog. When we first got our dog, the story was that my dad told us, you can have a dog. You can have a dog, excuse me, and as I always wanted one, but we were all taking instrument lessons, and I was taking, now you're learning more about me than you need to know, I was taking piano lessons at the time, and we were part of a school for music, and they would grade you each lesson, and my dad said in a weak moment, if you get straight A's for the rest of the semester in piano, I'll get you a dog. Well, I had never gotten an A in a piano lesson my entire time, so I'm sure he felt that was a safe bet. But I was very motivated, and I did get straight A's, much to the awful chagrin of my own mother, who didn't want the dog. But my dad went, and we adopted one from the pound, right, in the area. And the way he determined, because I had a younger brother than myself, and as a pastor, there were a lot of young kids that would come to the house, so he wanted a safe for family-friendly dog. He also wanted one that was young. So when they would bring the dog in where they have the bonding experience, my dad would actually literally grab and twist the dog's ears and pull his tail on purpose because he knew if that dog will bite at me, then when with little kids that don't know any better and they grab the dog's tail or ears, they'll bite the little child. So he figured, I want a gentle dog. I'm going to give him my test and found. Actually, it's a pretty smart test, right? So when I read that verse, that's what I thought of. Proverbs 26, verse 17. I thought of my dad pulling the dog's ears, starting a fight in the pound, so to speak. By the way, we got an awesome dog. His name was Jake. He was a great Swiss Mountain dog, which means he was a real dog. He's like 140 pounds of real dog muscle, right? That's a big dog. Proverbs 14, verse 3. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Words get you into trouble. Can people use your comments, Facebook statuses, and tweets against you? Then don't post that. The wise person is actually preserved by the words he uses, not beaten up by them. This means that the words of the wise are carefully chosen, gracious, consistent with their testimony. Here's a good rule of thumb. Would you be willing to share what you just posted on Facebook in a Sunday morning service behind the pulpit and expect everybody to be edified by it? If the answer is no, you shouldn't have posted that, right? Proverbs 12, verse 16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent man ignores an insult. This is a good one just outside of it. Sometimes people just stir you up, right? They're just doing it. They know to push your buttons. What do you do? The The prudent man actually does choose to ignore that insult. He just moves along. Sometimes people just don't need to know what you're thinking. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. If you decide to post a comment on a debate, are you going to make peace? Or is that why you're posting it? Or are you stirring up strife? Right? Now, we could continue on with more, and maybe you're thinking of even more than just the ones that I've given you, but those are at least 10, and I hope they may help you along this way. Here's a question for you. Are you actually going to change anyone's mind if you post that? Or could you lose the opportunity to witness to people? If that's the case, I think a lot of us might need to start cleaning up our Facebook act, right? And my rules are just my rules, those three, faith, family, and something funny. But I do find that to be a helpful guidepost when it comes to my interactions on social media. And by the way, an aside, some might say, well, then fine, I'll just delete it. I don't think that's an appropriate conclusion either. We don't live in that time period anymore, right? We do live in a time period where that is a very well-used medium to reach out to people. In fact, I know of many even that have visited this very church because they first visited our Facebook page. In fact, most all of the web traffic that we have to our church, over 90% first comes through our Facebook page before they ever visit our website. So there is something to be said about it's actually a, could be a powerful medium. It's not something to be avoided. But at the same time, as with any medium of communication, we also need to follow God's principles of communication when using that medium of communication. All right? I'm sure that there was a time when people, by the way, were so afraid of mail that they wouldn't do that either. And now we laugh and think that, wow, well, mail's no big deal. Well, that's kind of how things happen every once in a while.